Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Best of the Joe Show, where weeknights from 6 to 7, we run back some of the best audio you've heard on this radio station over the past 24 hours. Hope you're doing good. I am Dan Day. Got lots of goodies for you tonight. Singer John Cicada catches up with Dan Lebatard and the guys. Also, Joe Rose gets to talking with the great Jim Nantz about the Dolphins' upcoming season and his backyard, of all things. Then finally, Hawk and Crowder, joined by Miami Dolphins beat writer for the Miami Herald, Adam Beasley, who is the bee's knees, and maybe, just maybe, Hawk and Crowder's executive producer, Alex Solana, will stop in to drop some knowledge. But right now, I want to drop some bee's knees headlines on you. The NFL's 100th season opens tonight when the Packers take on the Bears at 8:20. The Dolphins get things started Sunday versus the Ravens at 1 from Hard Rock Stadium. Listen to both the games here on 560 The Joe WQAM. This Saturday's Canes Tar Heels matchup will pit Manny Diaz against Mac Brown, a coach who once released Diaz from his staff. Pregame from Chapel Hill starts at 4, kickoff at 8. The Pirates concluded a three-run, ninth-inning rally with a walk-off single to defeat the Marlins 6-5 last night. The two play again tonight in Pittsburgh at 7:05. Heat owner Mickey Arison has pledged $1 million for Dorian Bahama's relief. The Heat opened their season against Memphis on October 23rd. A couple of international soccer friendlies to keep an eye on tomorrow. Brazil versus Colombia from Hard Rock Stadium, while the U.S. national team faces off with Mexico at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. Both kickoffs are at 8:30. And now, let's take a step into the day spa. A Knoxville man was recently arrested for riding a horse down the road drunk one night, then proceeding to fall off. Arrested? I thought drunk falling off a horse was par for the course in Tennessee. Now, I'd like to say this would never happen to me, but the guy even kind of looks like me. Check him out on my Twitter page, at Dan Day Radio. A rooster named Maurice has won a case in French court pitting him against vacationing neighbors. Apparently, many visitors did not like Maurice's loud early morning crowing, but the court decided to let the rooster crow. Good night, or morning, or whatever. Now on to weather brought to you by Hylia Park. Tonight's forecast is partly cloudy with temperatures in the high 80s. For the best poker promotions in South Florida, visit Hylia Park Poker Room. Come win your share of $350,000 in monthly high-hand giveaways. That's more than $10,000 a day in high hands. Why play anywhere else? Visit HyliaPark.com for more info. Dan Lebatard, a legendary radio personality in Miami. John Cicada, a legendary singer and entertainer from Miami. They met up earlier today, and Cicada started repping Hialeah. Also talking about performing with Luciano Pavarotti, how he found his fountain of youth, and some sports betting insight.
Some years we win, some we lose with our gambling segment involving random people from celebrity. Last year we lost to Colin Cowherd. We were 48-48-3. He was 46-32-2. The reason we won more games than him but lost 16 more games than him is because we were chasing and continued to have celebrities make more and more picks, and we failed because of the Baldwins, basically. The entire Baldwin family, Alec, Daniel, Billy.
Except Beth. Really, when you break it down, the Wahlbergs were
the
terrible.
Wahlbergs also hurt us, 7-15-1. But yeah, now
these Hollywood families, they're blocked.
I miss Marlon Wayans. He was 8-2.
Marlon's fine. The Wayans are okay by us.
So I do not know if this man, who has won 3 Grammy Awards, he sold more than 20 million albums, I do not know if he knows football or not, but we'd like to welcome
20 million albums? Wow.
You're surprised by that?
That's a lot of albums.
Yes. Are you surprised by that, John Cicada? And thank you for joining us. Are you surprised that you have sold
20? It's John Cicada?
What?
Oh, I saw you play Danny Zuko on Broadway once.
I actually did.
Yeah, we know. We saw it.
I was the first Cuban Danny Zuko in Greece, which was, for me, it was a big deal at the time. And, yeah, to albums, 20 million, you know, when albums still were sold in the way that my career started, you know, I've been doing this, I guess, close to 3 years. So it's been a blessing, man. It's been a great, great ride. So, and I do know a little bit of football, so I am a fan. I am a fan of the sport.
Okay, we will get to that in a second. But so could you have imagined any of this? What was happening in your life when you were a teacher at Miami-Dade College?
Yeah, you know, I grew up in South Florida. This community means so much to me. So I'm a product of everything that deals with being raised in Hialeah, Florida, as a Cuban American. I've done it all. I attached to this to who I am as a musician. It all started here in Miami. I went to school at the University of Miami. I taught for a while. I worked the clubs. I did recording sessions. I did jingles. I did it all. And so I've always been very, very proud of who I am, how I started, the people that I've known, and the friends that I've made in the business, all musician friends and guys that for the most part I still work with, and everything that started that kind of got my career going. It all started here when I met the Estefans, of course. But I still remember those, you know, being a teacher and doing everything that I needed to do to just be the best musician that I could be.
Can you tell us what your life in Hialeah was like? Because Hialeah it's a funny place. It's an unusual place. There isn't any place like it in the United States.
That is very true. It's got this own set of street numbers attached to the rest of the city. I went to Hialeah High School. It was, again, diversity, ethnic diversity, very Hispanic-oriented, especially when I grew up, and I think it still is. And I love it. I love the fact that my traditions, my Latin traditions, I was able to kind of harness them still living in Hialeah. I mean, I remember my first CD had come out, and I was still living in Hialeah. There was so much stuff going on with my with what was going on with me and traveling and everything, and I loved it. I loved the fact that I love where I live. I love where I kind of grew up as a musician, and everything that I am is, you know, it all started there. We still have my family. We still have a lot of interest in Hialeah. It will always be, and it still is, South Florida, Hialeah. It means everything to me.
John Cicada with us on ESPN Radio. What can you tell us about your father's experiences in Cuba and how it is that you ended up over here?
Yeah, you know, I think the Cuban-American experience, especially for my parents, my father, he was a political prisoner in the 60s. It was a different time, different type of culture of what was going on in Cuba at the time. When he tried to leave at the time, it was illegal to do it in that way. Was put in prison. We eventually were able to leave legally. We had to come through a different way than to be able to come to the States directly. We didn't have anybody here to claim us, to sponsor us. So we went to Spain, went to Costa Rica. So that journey as immigrants really meant a lot to us in terms of just the struggles of wanting a better life and knowing that that in the end it was always our dream to be able to have the opportunity to come to the United States, and we did. And I will always be very thankful to all those sacrifices and things that my parents went through for us to eventually have the opportunity of the American dream.
You've toured with some legends like Pavarotti, ranging from Pavarotti to Sinatra. What is the most awed you've been touring around the country?
I mean, he's a legend.
Yeah. They got to tour with John Cicada.
No, guys, nice. Thank you. I've been very, very blessed, man. Very, very blessed and very lucky, very fortunate to have worked with some great talents. And I will say that I think the singing with Pavarotti was probably the most nerve-wracking thing I've ever done, because this is the biggest tenor on the planet, and a classic tenor, and it was in his hometown in Italy, and with 120-piece orchestra, and I'm there, you know, at the beginning of my career, trying to stand next to Pavarotti singing this classic piece called Granada, and I'm like, and all I'm trying to do is just survive the moment and enjoy it at the same time. And moments like that I'll never forget. And of course, having my name next to Sinatra, that's something that, as a musician, for me, studying music, another legend, another icon, just to have my voice recorded next to his, again, things that I can never forget, attached to opportunities, things that happened so early on in my career.
John Secada with us. For tickets, tour dates, and information on his new album, visit johnsecada.com. John, the key to being 57 and looking 27 is what?
exercise, you know, supplements, whatever we need to do, especially getting older. I think discipline, you know, commitment, lifestyle decisions. For me, that's always been a big deal, to try to do whatever I need to do to eat as well as I can, especially when I travel, and exercise as effective as I can. That means a lot to me, you know, going to the gym. It still does. And then after that, you know, just knock on wood that God keeps giving me the health to be able to keep doing it, you know.
For tickets, tour dates, and information on his new album, visit johnsecada.com. Go ahead and play the open, Mike.
And now it is time for Celebrity Prognosticator. Let's win some money.
Oh, I hope he wins. I have so many John Secada questions.
We are back, man.
He has toured with Pavarotti, and that's how we give him music to start this segment.
We didn't even get to the fact that he might do the Super Bowl halftime show this year, Dan.
Oh, wait a minute. Are you going to do the Super Bowl halftime show? Break some news on here, Secada.
Boys, I wish I had, you know, I haven't gotten the call yet. No.
Not from Jay Z.
Okay. You better come. Better come. It's got to come.
Yep.
Rams at Panthers. Panthers plus 2.5. Who does these lines are provided by Caesars? Who does John Secada have?
I think it's actually a very fair,
point spread.
Absolutely, very fair for Carolina. I think that you know, you're talking about the Rams, man. This is in the NFC, one of the most dominant teams. You know, Goff, you know, he's got a brand new deal. Gurley, probably, hopefully, you know, he's going to come back as strong as he can, you know, based on whatever health issues he had last year.
You're really keeping us in suspense here.
God.
We don't know which way you're going to go.
Rams, but I'm not sure.
Secada, I didn't know you wanted to be an ESPN gas bag. Who do you have?
Carolina, man.
Oh, right.
Carolina plus 2.5.
Biggest bet of the weekend. Thank you, John.
Ravens at Dolphins. Dolphins plus 6.5. They're clearly tanking, your hometown team. Who do you have?
You know, this is painful because, unfortunately, I have to, you know, think with whatever I know about the sport and the intelligence that I have as a fan, and I can't do it with my heart. So, unfortunately, as a Dolphin fan, I wish that I could say that my team is going to win that game, but I know that they're not, and it's just not going to happen.
Okay,
you know, and that's a sad reality, man. And I think as a Dolphin fan, Darius Rucker sang with a hoodie, you know, Hoodie and the Blowfish, man. It's going to be another year.
They always make you cry.
A lot of Dolphins fans cry because you know it's just the growing process, new coaching staff. Great new players, but still, they just have to grow into whatever's going on. A lot of leadership left. So it's going to be a tough year for my Dolphins.
All right, you know what, John?
Did he take the Ravens?
Hold on. No, he took the Ravens. John, we're going to leave you right there. Can you come back? Because we're up against the break, and you clearly want to talk about these games. So we're going to give you another chance to talk about the games.
Yes.
So John Secada is with us. What happened? Rams at Panthers, plus 2.5. I heard you were screaming that the pick was wrong. What happened, Secada?
I blooped it, man. I blooped it. I was so involved talking about the spread, and I'm like, I said, you know, the Panthers. But no, of course, the Rams. Yeah, you kidding? The Rams are going to win that game. But the spread, I think, is fair. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a test to let's see how Cam deals with coming back with all those injuries. I think it's going to be a good game.
And we're still not certain on the Dolphins and Ravens. I think you don't think the Dolphins are going to win,
certain.
But it might be close.
No, he picked the Ravens. The Ravens, right?
The Dolphins are going to lose.
And they're going to lose. They're going
to
lose by more than
Dolphins
6.5.
Lose, yes.
By more than 6.5 points.
I think so.
Okay.
Washington at Eagles. Eagles minus 10. Who does John Secada have?
That's an easy one. I think the Eagles are going to definitely win that game, and another really the spread calls it right. The Redskins, man, they're a challenge. I think both Gruden brothers. They're challenged in their own ways, but I think Jay Gruden, man, he's got a tough team to try to survive with again. And I think that playing at Philly and with a loaded Eagles team, yeah, there's no way that they don't have a chance.
All right, so the Eagles yeah, are the pick. Again, I'll put it on the poll. As John Cicada said, are the Gruden brothers challenged? Colts at Chargers. Chargers minus 6.5. Who do you have?
Yeah, that's the Chargers that also are going to win that game, and I think that the spread is going to be bigger than that. But I feel for this kid Brissett, because with everything that's going on over the last few weeks, and what a tester. I mean, for a brand new quarterback, and I. They're going against a great team, you know, a veteran, Rivers. There's no way that they can even have a chance. So I think, by far, the Chargers are gonna take that one.
Right. Giants at Cowboys. Cowboys minus 7.5. Who does John Cicada have?
This is my wrench upset for the week.
Oh, oh wow. Look out! Now is that a monkey wow. wrench or is it a bet
absolutely.
The ranch?
Absolutely, wow. 1,000,000%
with a highly
I
accent.
Believe I think there's something that tells me in the gut of my heart.
I love it.
That I think that the Giants, they have nothing to lose, so much to prove. You're talking about still a quarterback, a two-time Super Bowl MVP. Yeah, he might be at the fourth quarter of his career, but he's got a lot to prove to himself. They have one of the most dynamic, you know, running backs in the game with Barkley. They have a chance. I think Zeke is not going to be up to speed to, you know, football speed yet. And he shouldn't have to be, because he just hasn't played football. And I think that, you know, the Giants can, it's a low-scoring game, back and forth. Whoever has last possession, it's a field goal away. And right. I think the Giants can do it.
All right. Your heart has a gut?
That sounds like a top 10 song, John. If you want to get to the studio right now, the gut of my heart is something like that you can make into music, musical brilliance and profit.
Listen, man, I wish I could say that for my Dolphins this week, but I can't. No. You know? But I can say that for the Giants. There you go.
All right. So thank you for being on with us. Again, if you want tickets, tour dates, information, he puts on a good show, new album, visit johncicada.com. Thank you, sir. Hopefully we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys. Absolutely. Thank you.
John Cicada, oh, that's as close as I can get to singing like that angel. He's got a great voice. John Cicada. Of course, you can hear Dan Lebatard weekdays from 10 to 1 right here at 560 The Joe, WQAM. For more details, head to our website, WQAM.com, and check us out on Twitter at 560WQAM. And of course, every morning we wake you up with a cup of Joe. Earlier this morning, Joe Rose caught up with the Jim Nantz, and they maybe, just maybe, set up a play date. That's next on the Best of the Joe Show. Welcome back to the Best of the Joe Show. I am Dan Day, and from 6 to 7 on weeknights, I run back some of the best audio you've heard on this station, 560 The Joe, WQAM, just in case you missed it, or you wanted to hear it again. Happy birthday to Freddie Mercury. He was born on this day in 1946. Don't know who he is? You're listening to his music. Still don't know who he is? Well, he was only the featured subject of the highest-grossing music movie of all time, Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody. Freddie Mercury, you are missed. Unfortunately, passed away in 1991. Let's get back to sports, though. Every morning on this radio station, Joe Rose and his team get you going from 6 to 10. Earlier today, they caught up with national sports correspondent Jim Nantz. Jim Nantz thinks the Dolphins are sensational? Also, he talks about his legendary par 3 backyard, and he and Joe Rose kind of set up a play date.
From CBS, Jim Nantz, good morning, welcome to the show, and thank you for coming on. We're not going to talk to you a lot this season, I'm assuming, because of the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Thank you for making time today for us.
Jim, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, listen, we're going to be talking a lot in the years to come. I know that. You just got to get through some stormy seas here for the short term. But Joe, Zach, it's good to be with you guys. Joe, it's been ages since I've seen my buddy. I hope you're doing well, and good luck on this season, guys.
Yeah. Hey, well, thank you. I'm just curious because you know what's going on down here, and you know the Dolphins are loaded in the draft the next 2 years. What are your thoughts about what they've done and looking forward to doing in the future?
Sensational moves. Seriously. It's the way you got to play it. I know it maybe isn't what you want here in the coming fall. Who knows? Play it out. Let's see what happens.
Right.
Brian's going to come in and try to make his mark on this franchise. I think he already is. But it's not only all those draft picks that you're talking about. It's going to be the salary cap's going to be in great shape as well. So, you know, you got to purge a little bit. That's what they're going through. Realistically, if you don't make these trades, is this team ready to go out and take that division this year?
No.
Because there's still that team up there north that's pretty darn good. And the two B's are still around. You know, Belichick and Brady, they're going to do their thing again. I mean, they're still the team to beat. So you might as well kind of get reorganized, figure what you're going to do, and get ready whenever that day comes. And I'm not trying to predict it and tell you that it's next year or 2 years from now when Brady and Belichick both decide they want to start the countdown clock for Canton. But it's going, you know, it can't be that far away just looking at the ages. So at what point are you going to be ready to make a serious move to claim that, put your stake in the ground and take that division and be a serious contender for that division and beyond for 10 years after that? And this is the way you do it. You start building a foundation. You start getting pieces in place. And, you're going to go through the draft a couple of times over, load up with great young talent. You're also going to have the freedom to go out and sign guys that are top-tier free agents. Don't overlook that. I mean, you don't have you're way under the cap. That's going to bring benefit here in a couple of years. Yeah. I think there's going to be a lot of trips for Tony and I in the years to come down in Miami.
All right, so we just got to stay patient and we got to stay in the game. No matter what age I am, I got to keep going. There you go.
Groom these young guys. They're going to be a part of that foundation. Go out and play. Try to win games. You'll win games. You know, just don't expect that you're going to take the division. Go win some games, but you know, get ready to start putting it all together the way you want to construct it.
Hey, I got to ask you a question just away from football before, because I talked about it this morning knowing that you were coming on. How cool is that in your backyard with that par three and Phil Mickelson chipped that thing in? And I was going, I should have been there. I should have been having a cocktail in the back with Jim Nantz right there. That was awesome.
Well, we've had some good times with that. It's a little more than a chip shot. It's because you've got these calibrated golf balls that go half the distance. The shot is 53 yards.
Okay.
So, but depending on the pin placement, I've got four hole locations. But
that's awesome.
I've got all the tournament hole locations. Right. So the hole is as close of a replica as you can come to number 7 at Pebble Beach. It putts exactly the same. The dimensions, everything about it is half the size. The bunkers are half the size. The green is half the size. The vertical drop is half the vertical drop. And the golf balls go half the distance. So it's the shot that you would play off of 7. And, Joe, you got to come out here, man. You've been talking about making this trip out here for a long time.
I know. And we get out there.
It was cool.
Jim, I got to tell you, so I get out there, and the wife says, you're not actually going to go bother Jim Nantz. I go, no, he's told me for years to come see him. And she goes, no, you're not doing that. It's so awkward. You're going to look like another football fan. And she demoralized me. It just killed me right there, Jim. It killed me.
I should end this conversation right now. I am so upset. You were out here in my neighborhood. And you didn't call me. We had a pact that you were going to do that.
I know. I go out to Northern California and see family, and we end up going down there. And then I go, I got one guy to see down here.
I can't believe it.
Can you imagine?
Really, truly, I'm not kidding. I really was, you know, I just figured you never made the trip.
Yeah. He was at your front door. He was afraid to knock.
I slept in the front there one time. I forgot to tell you.
we are constantly joined by friends that are visiting. It's a Pebble Beach is a popular destination point, particularly the summer gets very busy. But it would have happened. Oh, you know, as long as I was here, we definitely would have had a little glass of the calling and set up on the back and try to put your name on the Rock of Fame.
Wow!
No way, man. Wow. Phil did it. Phil owns that. You know what? After Mickelson, no more. That's it.
We have 15 names up there. The homeowner is never going to put his name on the rock, even though I have home field advantage and I hit thousands of shots up there. So by dumb luck, I've made it a number of times. But I've had the likes of Brant Snedeker twice.
Wow.
3 years apart, 4 years apart. Nick Faldo.
Oh,
David
Nick.
Faraday. Billy Horschel. Ian Poulter. Tony Romo. And like you said, for all to see, that went viral, Phil Mickelson. It's on your favorite YouTube site. But we've had 15. They all have their name memorialized on a boulder there with a plaque. And the real story is who has not made it. Names like Nicholas and Palmer. Yeah, for starters.
Wow.
Wow.
You haven't been able to get Tiger over there, though, right? I mean, there's not...
Not yet. But, you know, we've had... we've had a lot of today's players, whether it be John Rahm, Gary Woodland, who won the U.S. Open here at Pebble Beach. They've given it their best shot. Yeah, there's been, guys from other sports who have been up there who have certainly tried, like Ben Roethlisberger, Clyde the Glide Drexler. It's a terrible name-dropping right. thing.
Hey, Jim, that's beautiful. You know, when all the other top announcers are in L.A. and New York, and you go, you know what, screw that. I'm going to Carmel. I mean, that's
right,
it.
Man.
That's it.
I love that you said it that way. You framed it that way because, to me, I wanted to follow my heart. Where did I want to go?
Right.
I didn't need to be in New York and Los Angeles talking about the business all the time. I needed to connect with what my soul was telling me, my heart was telling me, and that was to be out here at Carmel by the Sea and specifically Pebble Beach. And, man, it's a blessing. It's everything I thought it would be. It's a little bit of a risk because I would come out here every year to broadcast the golf tournament, and I thought, man, this would be the most awesome place to live. But you don't really know until you get into the rhythm and flow of a daily life what it's like. And it's been everything I expected times 10.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're great for business for everybody going out there. Jim, they're screaming at us. I got to let you go. It is so great talking
short,
to you, man. I know we're going to
we'll
get you again. You got it, Jim. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks, guys. It was a great pleasure. Good luck on the season. Can't wait to catch up with you guys.
You got it.
Joe Rose always landing the whales, and Jim Nantz seems like he's a pretty cool guy. Speaking of being pretty cool, Hawk and Crowder, they're on 560 The Joe WQAM weekdays from 3 to 6. Earlier today, they were joined by the Miami Herald's Dolphins beat writer, Adam Beasley. So you know they're giving you the lowdown on the Dolphins and maybe who the next Dan Marino may be. And if I'm lucky, I can get the show's executive producer, Alejandro Solana, to stop in and rap with me for a little bit in just a few minutes. And speaking of rap, it is quite an anniversary for that genre today. I'll get to that next here on the Best of the Joe Show. It's the Best of the Joe Show, running back some of the best audio you've heard on this radio station over the past 24 hours. Here's some of the best audio you've heard over the past 24 hours. Rage Against the Machine, Guerrilla Radio. Happy birthday to the band's drummer, Brad Wilk. I got Alejandro Solana in with us right now from the Hawk and Crowder Show. He's their executive producer. You got to admit, all-time banger.
Banger.
Goodness gracious. Also, it's the Weasel Zappas. Birthday, 50 years old. That is the great Frank Zappa's son.
The great Frank Zappa? I don't know about Frank Zappa's. Who's that?
Let's just enjoy this rage for another second. Oh, man, that is great stuff. We're going to get to another banger that kind of is going down today. Today, though, is a Thursday. We do T-shirt Thursday here at the radio station. We proudly post all of our T-shirts. Got some Inner Miami on right now. You've got a Miami, Florida, just T-shirt jacket on.
Under the hoodie, though, I'm rocking a WQAM T-shirt.
Oh.
So, yeah, repping for the station.
And the only reason I bring that up is because Tuesday is usually Jersey Tuesday here at the radio station. And this coming Tuesday, it's going to be nothing nice.
You're coming strong?
Oh, you know I'm coming strong. Okay. You coming strong?
I mean, I've dropped the ball on Jersey Tuesday the last couple of weeks. But this Tuesday, I will bring it strong with a jersey on Tuesday.
The reason I say that is because, if you know, or maybe you don't know, I'm a huge U.S. men's national soccer team fan. Are you 100% Uruguayan?
I'm 100% Uruguayan.
So they're playing each other Tuesday.
They are, yeah.
Whoo, it is going to be a war. Now, you know, I can't talk on the radio for some contractual reason during the Hogman and Crowder show. So I'm going to be yelling, screaming. Hopefully this glass is soundproof, cheering and chanting on the USA. And I'm sure you're going to have plenty to say about your national team, or one of your national teams, because, you know, well, we know you love the USA also.
La Celeste, though, anytime they suit up, that's my passion right there.
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand that 150%, but we will be talking some noise. Jersey, Tuesday, U.S. men's national team versus Uruguay. Going to be a whole lot of fun. From St. Louis, one of the great soccer cities in America, in the world. What's the biggest soccer city in Uruguay?
Montevideo, of course, the capital.
How would we not know that already? How would we not know that already? Okay, well, you are the executive producer for the Hogman and Crowder show. And what we try to do around here is Hogman Hump Day, where we do the best of a Hogman and Crowder segment to kind of get us over the hump. Yesterday, some of our programming got preempted, so we missed out. We're having you back on Thursday. Break it down for us. What are we about to hear from the Hogman and Crowder show?
Well, we were joined by Adam Beasley today in the first hour. He, of course, is a Miami Dolphins reporter, beat writer for the Miami Herald. Knows everything about the Miami Dolphins. He's definitely one of the most plugged in people at the organization. He's been there. If you follow Miami Dolphins, you're very familiar with Adam Beasley's work, and everybody at the Miami Herald, they do an excellent job. Barry Jackson, Adam Beasley, they do an excellent job at covering the team. I know a lot of people are a little down. We are the flagship hope of the Miami Dolphins, but I know a lot of people are very down with some of their recent roster moves. Week one, coming up on Sunday, Adam Beasley, Mark Hogman, and Channing Crowder, former Miami Dolphin, are going to give you an in-depth look at what you should expect from the quarterback play. They're going to talk to you all about the past quarterbacks and kind of what it means to have Ryan Fitzpatrick starting over Josh Rosen week one against Baltimore.
And today, speaking of bangers, a banger of an anniversary when it comes to the world of hip-hop, what'd you guys talk about?
Today, Young MC, basically the entire theme of the show. You can listen to the Hogman and Crowder Show podcast. Find it on WQAM.com. We are simulcasted all the stations, papa, as Mark Hogman likes to say, on our sister station, 790 The Ticket, so at theticketmiami.com as well. But today's the theme of today's show was all about celebrating Young MC. It was the anniversary. Oh, I'm forgetting the album name. Hawk's going to kill me. Do you have it written in front of you?
I do not.
I don't know. It was a Young MC album. I'm a millennial. I was born like 7 years after the album dropped. But I will admit, a lot of bangers on that album.
It was the one with Bust a Move. That's all you got to say. Hawk, Crowder, Bees, they'll fill you in now.
You want to see Loco?
Yeah, this is when Young MC started to get a little sexy on you.
This is sexy?
This is sexy.
I don't think Lyle likes this, man.
Do you remember the last time that we celebrated Young MC and the release of this album? Do you remember what happened?
He came. His sister was listening.
And
she
called
him and had him call the show.
Yeah. Because it was like 5 years ago or 4 years ago that I saw on the 80s Twitter or whatever that it was the anniversary of the release of this CD. And his sister lives in Miami. She was listening.
Wow.
And so Falero was the producer back then. And during a commercial break, he's like, there's a dude on the phone that says he's Young MC. And I'm like, well, ask him these questions because I happen to know, but like I know his real name and all that stuff. And he had all the answers. We put him on the air and I could tell instantly, yeah, that was Young MC. And he's like, yeah,
smiling. What did he say?
He's like, my sister told me to call that you guys are celebrating the release of Stone Cold Ryman. I'm like, yeah, all time banger.
The question I have is, why is your sister listening to this show?
Yeah, why is anyone? Why? Why is anyone listening to this show?
Hogman and Crowder, that's why.
Let's be honest here. Adam Beasley is with us. He covers the Miami Dolphins for the Miami Herald, and they start their season, a season unlike any other. They start on Sunday. Is there a way that you could see them beating the Baltimore Ravens on
Sunday?
Sure.
Yeah. If Lamar throws a couple picks and Fitzy goes Fitzy, yeah, of course they could.
The line right now is 6.5, and I think it's wildly low.
I would hammer the Ravens.
So, and we're on the Ravens at -5. Mm-hmm. We put it in a couple weeks ago before Tunsil got traded, and now it went up to 7 and 7.5 even. It's back down to 6.5 right now. But I'm having a tough time really figuring out, just based on what Baltimore's done to them recently, I'm having a tough time figuring out, but I guess that would be an explanation.
It's this simple. The Ravens had the number one defense last year. The Dolphins' offense is going to be number 30, 31, 32. There's no way the Dolphins are going to be consistently able to score on that team unless there's a bunch of turnovers.
And Bees, you hit it on a little earlier, but the offense, run game, quick passing game, very simple offense, correct?
Yeah, I think you're going to see Kenyon Drake catch like 60, 70 balls this year because it's just going to be boom, boom, out, quick, get to the running back, get you in space, and that's their only chance. If they sit back there in 5 and 7 step drops and survey the field and try to throw home run balls to Devontae, pray for Ryan. Yeah. I mean, it's going
to
be bad.
He's smart enough to know that he can't do that. You know what I mean? Like, I could see where Josh Rosen, he's going to drop back and he's not going to have pocket awareness and whatever. Like, Ryan Fitzpatrick knows that he's got to get rid of the ball real quick.
I mean, but this is also the same dude that trucked a safety in the second preseason game.
True.
He should know better.
He's going to get impatient. I played against Fitzpatrick. I know he's going to get impatient. He's going to try to make that
That's
big
the best
play.
Line of the day. I played against Fitzpatrick. All right. Okay.
That's crazy.
A couple of crazy stats. I wrote this today. Do you know who he threw his first touchdown pass to?
No.
Ryan Fitzpatrick. Let's try to figure this out. Was it in Buffalo?
I'm not giving you any hints.
Who did Ryan Fitzpatrick throw his touchdown pass to? I don't know.
Torrey Holt.
Torrey Holt.
Second touchdown pass, Isaac Bruce.
Wow. That's crazy.
Damn.
2005.
That's funny. Yeah, he played against them. I mean, that's all you need to know about the Dolphins starting quarterback, right? Have you ever heard me read the T-shirt? I've got this website, honkedofflikeagoose.com.
Yes.
You've heard the T-shirt on this because it's a staggering number. It's why I don't have a problem with what the Dolphins are doing, because the T-shirt kind of tells you how difficult it is to find a quality quarterback. This is every starter, and I preface this, so help you God if you text me Pat White on this one. So help you God. He never started a game. He never started. These are Dolphins starters since Dan Marino. Jay Fiedler, Damon Heward, Ray Lucas, Brian Greasy, A.J. Feely, Sage Rosenfels, Gus Frerotte, Dante Culpepper, Joey Harrington, Cleo Lemon, Trent Green, John Beck, Chad Pennington, Chad Henney, Tyler Thigpen, Matt Moore, Ryan Tannehill, Jay Cutler, Brock Osweiler, and Ryan Fitzpatrick.
That's amazing.
It's an unbelievable list of ineptitude.
What would be even more telling is how many of those guys never started for another team other than the Miami Dolphins. Because if you're good enough and you're Ray Lucas and you're good, someone else will pick you up and you'll play at some point. He was with the Jets, obviously, right? Before he came to the Dolphins, is that correct?
Ray Lucas was with the Jets before the Dolphins.
But there is a Thigpen. Did he ever play for anybody else? I mean,
No. There's
a long list of guys that this was their only chance. And I think right now, this is Ryan Fitzpatrick's only chance to be on the field.
But it's why I don't mind doing what they're doing, because you can see from that list of quarterbacks, they've never really had the elite of the elite coming out of the draft, right? They've never been in a position to do that.
Let me ask you this. Did the Rams tank for Jared Goff?
Did they tank?
No. Did the Eagles tank for Carson Wentz?
No.
There are ways to get your quarterback without doing what they're
doing. Okay, but that being said, though, we've been on a hamster wheel for 15 seasons,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, they've tried. We talked about this yesterday. They've tried every different approach, right? Let's go get high-priced, high-profile free agents, from Mike Wallace, who was highly coveted that offseason, to Ndamukong Suh, right? They've tried to get players via trade. They've tried to draft a quarterback. They tried Ryan Tannehill. It was a first-round pick.
Right.
Like, they've tried every way to do it. So it's not like, you know, they went to the playoffs 3 years in a row, missed the playoffs 1 year, and decided, clean house, let's be awful,
yep.
and because we see a quarterback that we like. They have tried for almost two decades to resolve the problems. They've never been able to do it. This is the first time that they've tried this approach.
I think we'll look back at the Ryan Tannehill eras. I mean, everyone can talk crap on Tannehill. I think he was a pretty good quarterback, but that set them back a decade.
Lost decade.
Because they kept doubling down on the guy that was a known flawed commodity, that he's going to get you so far, and that's your ceiling. And they kept doubling and tripling down. What they should have done, Gase got hired to fix Tannehill. The year after he got hurt, 2017, they should have pulled the plug, moved on from then. I think if they would have done that, Dan, gone and gotten Gase's quarterback in the draft, he would still be the head coach.
Did any of those guys get you? Because Trent Green and Culpepper were the guys, when they came to the team, Bees, I was like, oh, my goodness.
You were on the cover
something.
Of Sports Illustrated. Well, the Dolphins were, because they were going to win the Super Bowl.
Did Pep
Which
get
what,
you?
The Culpepper year?
Culpepper year. We were favored to win the Super Bowl.
I mean, he was a great quarterback in Minnesota.
His knee just didn't function.
Right, no, but I don't think there was a again, I don't think there's a shame in that. Like,
right.
Again, when I read that list, like, yeah, that was a good approach. They chose the wrong guy. Mm-hmm. We know that. That's been, you know, and the Matt Ryan. Like, they you know, like,
yeah,
there's different things where you you can look back and go, they should have done this, should have done that. But they've tried a lot of approaches to find a quarterback since Dan Marino. They've never hit on one. They lucked into Chad Pennington. Yep. He was terrific for a season. Was exactly what they needed, right? But they've never found an elite quarterback. And if they really believe that Tua or Fromm or even Trevor Lawrence two seasons from now, like if they really believe this guy is as elite as they come, we've looked at him, we've studied him, we need to be in a position because look at that T-shirt. And we need to be in a position to have an elite quarterback. I just don't think there's any shame in it.
There's no shame, but there's going to be pain. Like, this year is going to suck. It's going to be terrible. And I feel for the people that back in January, February, not knowing this was going to happen, shelled out the thousands of dollars for season tickets because they're going to go this year, and there'll probably be some paper bags on heads, and it's going to be empty. We'll know pretty quickly what their season ticket base is. I think we knew that in the preseason game because they won't sell any single-game tickets. The number they announce is their season ticket number because people are not going to walk up to the box office and say, hey, who are the Dolphins playing today? I want to go. Granted, when they play teams that draw well.
Philadelphia will always draw well.
But the Bills game, whatever that number, announced number is, that's their season ticket base because they're not going to sell a bunch of single game tickets.
Maybe we should go streaking. embrace the fan base. We go streaking.
Try to become like.
I know if I streak, the women are going to come.
I know if I streak, everyone's going to shield their eyes.
They're going to turn the paper bags the other way.
They're going to go, man, that is an ugly woman.
They're going to tape the eye holes back on.
Why is that ugly bald woman streaking? That's interesting. Boy, she's got no shame.
Proud of her body.
Hey, you guys ever done that, by the way?
What's that?
Go streaking?
Yeah.
No, I've never.
He went to a nude beach like less than a year
Haulover?
Ago.
Haulover nude beach.
Okay, yeah,
man.
I used to live up there, so I would run by there, and I would make sure I ran on the beach. It wasn't what you want to see.
No.
It's not what you want to see.
I told him it's about 10% of positivity.
Yeah,
and
the rest is
75-year-old
Cuban
women.
You're looking for some saline for your eyes after you leave there.
And then
it burns.
But the guy with the baby leg, he walks around all confident. Yeah, man, I don't want to see that. Put that away.
The baby leg.
So what's your prediction, Adam Beasley, from the Miami Herald on Dolphins wins for the season?
Well, I picked 4-12 in the preview section, but that was also the same preview section that had Laramie Tunsil on the cover.
Man, did you get blasted on that tweet?
Dude, they were...
That was one of the funniest tweets of all time. The morning that Tunsil got traded, Beasley comes out with a tweet that says, well, I feel safe saying this now. We were nervous about having this cover, but Laramie's fine, and then he gets traded.
Tens of thousands of people have dunked on me in the week since then. I mean, it's like the slam dunk contest on my head. So,
yeah. So you pick 4-12.
But
in,
I don't believe
that
anymore. I think 2-3 wins, something like that.
Yeah. This is going to be a painful season. A season unlike anything you've ever experienced.
I like it.
It's a good marketing campaign, I think, right? Because you're not locked into anything.
Right.
Like, you can't call your season ticket rep and go, wait, you promised me a great season. Oh, no, I didn't. I promised you a season unlike anything you've ever been through before.
Like when your kids say, watch this for their magic trick.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, wow.
Right.
Oh,
yeah. That's actually not a bad slogan. Watch this. I think you came up with it.
2019 Dolphins.
Watch this. It's like it's Brian Flores up there with flash paper. What? What am I looking for? I don't know. Just watch this.
We're 1-10.
I don't care what anybody says. I'm excited about the Dolphins game this weekend, and hopefully you are too. Of course, you can listen to the pregame, the postgame, the whole game right here on 560 The Joe, WQAM. Let's check in on what Brian Flores has to say about the new players' first game on the team of the Dolphins.
We have had some turnover here. The one thing I'd like to say is, you know, I like that we've been aggressive trying to bring in players that we feel will help this team and better the roster. You know, I like that aggressive approach. You know, as far as getting them ready, you know, we got to coach them. That's part of our job. We've got a good staff. It's something we talked to about as a staff, and you know, finding the best way to get these new guys up to speed and in roles where they can play fast. I think these guys are focused on Baltimore. That's what I see. I think the attentiveness, the, you know, the preparation. Guys were in here yesterday watching film, and you know, it's their day off, but they're in here and they're, you know, lifting and watching film and getting a workout in. And I think that's where the focus is. So, and I think that's where it should be. Again, this is a tough team. This is a physical team. This is a well-coached team. You know, we're going to have to play well, in all three phases, in this game to have a chance. So I think that's where the focus is. Not on anything else, not on turnover, not on, I don't think it's on that. I haven't had any conversations that way.
If you can't wait for football in your life until this Saturday, 1 o'clock, Dolphins, Ravens, in just a few minutes, we're going to have that big Packers-Bears game on right here. If you can't wait to find out more about the radio station, all you have to do, go to our website, WQAM.com. You can download the podcast there or wherever you get your podcasts. Check us out on Twitter, at 560WQAM. Give me a follow, at Dan Day Radio. That's right, I am Dan Day, and I will be back tomorrow night with the Best of the Joe Show, where we're going to be running back some of the best audio you've heard over the past 24 hours right here on 560 The Joe, WQAM. Later, slug.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.